Good evening, 5 p.m. Hello, and a special welcome if you're here for the first time. Maybe a friend dragged you along, or maybe you came willingly. How good would that be? Hey, my name is Josh Hawkins. I'm the Young Adults Minister here at St. Paul's, and this is a great place to be right now. Matt already mentioned that there was a fight today. A big fight. The biggest fight of the century, was it? Now, I don't know, this could be the first time that you've heard of it, but for me, my Facebook was flooded for the last, 6 months about this fight. So, it intrigued me. I'm not a huge boxing fan. I boxed once. I think after that, I wasn't a huge boxing fan. But I was so interested because my Facebook was literally flooded with this event, this massive event. And so I did a little bit of research. There's some videos that popped up on my Facebook that got me interested. Floyd Mayweather on our left and Manny Pacquiao on the right. This was the big one. It's like New South Wales versus Queensland. Or like Milo versus Nesquik. I mean, this is big. It's like Five Sauce versus 1D. This is a big deal. Now, you're probably wondering, well, it's not really a big deal to me. Like, what is the go? And so, I got a few stats just to show you how big this fight is. If you wanted to actually go to the fight, and you just wanted the cheap seats at the back, how you going? The cheap seats were $1,500. Now, if you had a little bit more money and you wanted a closer view, the ringside tickets were $180,000 for one ticket. This is how big this fight was. Now, what about advertising? Well, if let's say that we wanted to get our name out there, St. Paul's, and maybe we wanted to advertise the house 8:30 tonight with Krispy Kremes. If we wanted to advertise ourselves and put our logo on one of the shorts of one of these boxes, $1.5 million for that one. $1.5 million. But what about the boxes? How much are these guys getting paid? Well, Manny Pacquiao, no matter if he loses or wins, he got paid $80 million to fight this fight. And the poor guy, he got the raw end of the deal because Floyd Mayweather, at the end of this fight, win or lose, is up $180 million. $180 million. Now, the maximum time this fight could have gone for and actually did go for was around about 30 minutes. So in that 30 minutes, he would have received $6 million a minute to be in that ring. Or if you think about it in seconds, to be in that ring, every second, someone throws him $100,000. This was a big fight. Now, whether you care about this fight or whether you care about boxing or not, I was interested because my Facebook was flooded and I watched some videos just to see what the hype was all about. And what I saw was this battle of two characters, two different guys. And what I want to do is just show you a little bit of some of these videos I watched. And whether you care who won or not, I want you to make a decision after seeing this video. Who do you want to win? Let's check it out.
I fight for many different things. I fight for myself. I fight for the money. I fight for legacy. I fight because I want to be the best. I fight because I want to go down in history as one of the best. That's the reason why I fight.
And the fighter who saw himself as a promoter.
Some guys you love, some guys you hate. That's what sells tickets.
You're watching a legend right now.
First, the money.
Money isn't everything. Money is the only thing.
Then the power.
This fight happened because of me.
Now he controls it all.
I'd rather be hated for being real and who I am than be loved for someone that I'm not.
But more than anything, it's a man whose whole life is guided by his innate, tremendous love for God, and who attributes all the success that he's had in life to God.
First, I would like to thank God for giving us a wonderful day, a beautiful day for us. I just want to let you know that everything that I have accomplished is God who gave me the strength. I'm hoping that after the fight, we can have a conversation with Floyd, you know, sharing my faith about God. I hope this fight is going to be not only to entertain people, but to give an inspiration to all the people around the world, and that there is God, you know, there is God that who can raise someone from nothing into something. As Jesus is the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. God bless.
Repeat.
So these are the two fighters, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Now, the fight's already over, just so you know, and you might already know the result, but hands up if you want or wanted Floyd to win. Hands up for Manny Pacquiao. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting why we all chose Manny. But this is the thing, because Floyd is known for being the bad guy. In fact, some say he's just playing this character, because as he said, it makes money. People want to see him fight. People probably want to see him lose, which he still hasn't done yet. And that's the thing. Did you hear those four things he said of why he fights? All four of them were all about himself. They had nothing to do with anyone else. People would call him selfish. People would call him borderline narcissistic. And that is his character. Now, I'm not trying to defame him, because those videos that were made, he produced them. He produced these videos that showed who he was. He knows who he is. That's almost as bad as having a website about yourself and videos all about yourself. But does it make sense that that is his character? And as you saw, the other guy, Manny Pacquiao, we loved him. He attributed everything that he had, every gift that he had, every success he had to someone else. And at this point, he was giving it to God. So we find ourselves with two different characters, two different character traits. On one side we have selfish. One side we have humble. Selfish says it's all about me. Humble says it's all about someone else. Humble says it's all about me. Selfish says it's all about me. Humble says it's all about someone else. These two characters. But we see this in life, right? Now, if you're in year 11 or 12 at William Clark, you know that I'm obsessed with the last Tim Tam. I'm obsessed with this last Tim Tam because I think the last Tim Tam reveals everything about your character. There's one Tim Tam left, there's two of you. What does selfish do? Just grabs it straight away. That's mine. I'm entitled to this Tim Tam. What does humble do? Would anyone like it? Would anyone like this last Tim Tam? I reckon the best example is driving in the car. Whether you're a driver or a passenger, you've seen this. Someone wants to merge in. Now, there's two examples here. Someone wants to merge in front of you and you let them in. That's humility. But they don't acknowledge you. That's selfish. But on the flip side, you're at a T intersection and the traffic is just non-stop. You're trying to get out of there, but The only way you will is if someone stops the traffic behind them and slows down for you. But no one does. Until someone finally does. They give you a little flash of their lights. They stop and you pull out. And you think, you, sir or ma'am, are a legend. Australian of the year. See, that is selfless. To slow down and slow everyone else behind them to let you in. These things happen all the time. You might have a friend, and on one side, they account for every single dollar that you owe them. They never hold up. You owe me 20 cents. Really? We call them tight. On the other side, you have a friend who never asks you to pay them back. They're so generous. Do you see that distinction between selfish and humble? Selfish says it's all about me. Humble says it's all about someone else. So why did we want Manny Pacquiao to win? It's because humility is attractive. Humility is attractive. And selfishness is ugly. So I want to know, hands up, who thinks they're humble? Okay. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Humility. It's the only thing in the world, as soon as you realize you've got it, you've lost it. Thank you for not putting your hand up. But we get to Genesis 4, the fourth page of the Bible, the fourth chapter of the Bible. And we see two characters. We're introduced to two characters and two responses. So let me read it to you. We're going from verse 2 to 5. It says, "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast." Two characters, two different responses. Firstly, we've got Abel. He brings God the best of what he's got, the first of what he's got. And by doing this, you see that what he's saying to God is, "You've provided this for me, so I give it back freely." That's what he's saying behind what he's done. And then we're introduced to Cain. Now, Cain also brings an offering to God, but God doesn't accept it. It doesn't say exactly why he doesn't accept it. But for some reason, God doesn't accept Cain's offering. But we read verse 5, and I think it reveals why. Verse 5 says, Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Do you know what that means? That means Cain was expecting something from his sacrifice, a return. And he was angry because he wanted that return, but God didn't accept it. It reveals that he thought God owed him. Cain thought God owed him. And with that reaction, it doesn't make sense that it wasn't a sacrifice anymore. Cain wasn't bringing a sacrifice. Cain was just bargaining with God. "I bring this so I'm blessed. I'll give you this so you give me back." Does it make sense how selfish that is? So self-centered that this was just a transaction for Cain. And because he didn't get his way, he was angry. It was about him and what he could get out of God. But do you think that we act that way sometimes? "God, I came to church. I come to church every week. I read my Bible and then I pray. I give to the church and I give to the poor. So now it's your turn. Give back." See, it's no longer a sacrifice. We're simply bargaining with God. That was Cain's sin. So God asks him, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" God says to him, "You know that if you do right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. He gives Cain this warning. God says there's two choices. Do what's right, which also means do what is good. And God warns him, if you don't choose what is right, then sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you. So Cain makes his choice. God warns him and Cain makes his choice. And this is what it says. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out into the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. God's warning revealed itself in Cain. He refused to do what he knew was right, what he knew was good, and he gave in to sin, and his destructive pattern led him to killing his own brother. Cain's sin was that he knew what was good, he knew what was right, but he decided to play God, and he redefined what he thought was good. When he brought the sacrifice, he was trying to define what was good to give to God. But God said no. But we do that too, right? I mean, God says, this is the right way. This is the way I want you to do it. And we say, I think I got a better way. I'm going to do it my way. That's the sin of Cain. The first response is Cain's response. He says, I'm God of my life. And I'm owed something. Now, God was a part of his life. God was part of Cain's life. But it wasn't his whole life. He didn't fully give himself to God. The problem is that if God is not God of everything, he's not God of anything. But the second response is humility under God. You give God everything. You give God everything. And that's when we see things from a different perspective. I want you to picture those two worlds. Picture two worlds where everyone is Cain. Where everyone does whatever they want. You'd never get the Tim Tam. Picture that world. Is that a world that you want to live in? Where everyone says, it's all about me. It's all about me. I am first. The problem is that if that was our world, then all we would have is a world full of people, full of themselves. We would have a world full of people that are full of themselves. But imagine the other world. Imagine a world full of people that were humble under God and put others first. That's an attractive world. Now, often things pop up on Facebook and you see like good things, good stories. And I just found two that might give us a picture of what this world would look like. The first one is this. I don't know if you've seen this. You got a full-time job and you got a day off. You want to relax. This is a barber in New York City. And on his day off on Sunday, he goes into the streets and cuts homeless people's hair for free. That's what he does on his day off. It says that it helps give them dignity and they feel more confident to go and find work. That's a picture of this world where we're humble under God and we put others first. The next picture is similar. In the top left, there's another homeless woman, and this guy had skills and decided to build her a little home. A home where she would be able to be safe and warm and not have to sleep on the streets. That is that world, and it's so attractive, isn't it? When we humble ourselves under God and we put others first. See, a world that is selfless. rather than selfish. A world full of gratitude rather than a world full of attitude. A world full of humility rather than a world full of humiliation. A world full of people asking, how much can I give, rather than how much can I gain? Imagine that world. Well, you know that world is heaven. That world is heaven. And one day, God promises that we will have heaven. But what do we do until then? What do we do until that day? Well, we are called to be those people. We are called to be people humble under God and putting others first. Friends, that is the heart of Christianity. If you're here for the first time tonight and you weren't sure what Christianity was all about, that is the heart of Christianity. That's the heart of God, that we would put others first, that we would look after the poor and look after the needy. So how do we get there? How do we become that person? Cain had two choices: serve God or serve himself. God said to him, do what is right, do what is good, Cain. But he served himself. Sin grabbed him and destruction followed. So how do we do it? How do we become those people? I'm going to show you a video, and this video is of a friend. Some of you might know him. He's new to this church. His name is Ross, and he had these two decisions before him as well. And I want to show you and see what he did, what his story is. So why don't you check out the screen?
Hi, my name's Ross. I'm 22 years old, and I started going to St. Paul's Castle Hill 5 months ago. My life before I encountered God and really dived into a relationship with him, it was pretty hopeless. I had pretty bad social anxiety, and I just stayed in my room for a long period of time. It was really hopeless. After I quit my job, I worked at a supermarket. I was working in the deli. And I was just always afraid of everything and everyone. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't look people in the eye. It was just destroying me, this, you know, just being by myself always and not being able to talk to people. I didn't talk to my siblings or my family. I had literally no relationships. Got to a point where it became so bad. My brother had his wedding and I didn't want to go to it, so I went outside my house and I went up to the forest and I sat on a rock for, you know, 12, 13 hours from, you know, morning till sundown, just waiting for it to be over, just sitting on a rock, just by myself. My problems were getting so bad, you know, my anxiety was getting so terrible. I had this plan in my head to fix it myself. I was like, I'm going to become a lot healthier. I'm going to start exercising. I started eating organic food like a crazy man for a few months. But it didn't change anything. It didn't fill me up with hope. And I had this picture, I'm just gonna exercise and, you know, go to the gym, and God, Jesus is gonna be somewhere around here somewhere, you know. He's just gonna be the guy that, you know, I pray to and he gives me stuff. And, you know, I thought I knew who Jesus was. I read the Bible and I went to church a few times, but it just wasn't a reality. It was in my mind, it wasn't in here, and I was still rejecting God for a long time. I didn't want to put him number one. I wanted to go my own way, and I wanted him to, you know, just be loving, and, you know, but I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to surrender my whole heart to Jesus. The moment I gave my life to Christ and I really invited him to my heart was, you know, after this moment of just drinking by myself, and I drank so much and it was just a bit ridiculous. And I remember waking up and just being a mess. And I remember I cried out to God and I repented. I just, Lord, I'm wicked, I'm sinful, like I'm just a mess, you know. Everything I do is just evil, and God just, something happened and God just rescued me at that moment, and he forgave me and he brought me into such a deep, intimate relationship with him, and he, you know, he zapped me with his love, and, you know, that's it, like it's done. As soon as I did that, the next few days were just amazing. All this anxiety lifted off my shoulders, and it dramatically lifted off as each day went. Since I gave my life to Jesus, he's really just been the hope that gets me through, you know. Sometimes I still struggle, sometimes I still feel anxious, but he's always there and I can trust in him. And, you know, my weakness drives me to him, and he is my strength. I've been developing relationships with my family again. I've been developing relationships with the people around me. Like, I go up to random people and I speak to them, and that was, like, really scary for me before. You know, I remember, you know, I used to walk down the street with all this panic and anxiety. But now, you know, I go to breakfast with my dad and we talk and we hang, and I'm speaking to my mum. And, you know, it's just really good that, you know, Christ can turn what seems so dark around and just flip it into light. And that's just amazing. I'm just blown away just how much I've been given. And this is a free gift, and it's just beautiful. God didn't just come to give us tickets into heaven. He came to bring fellowship with him. And that is the ultimate joy in this life. That is the ultimate joy in my life. And, like, it's just beautiful. So I love God. And there's nothing else I want in this world now except for Jesus. I just want Jesus. I just want him. I want to follow him with everything I am. I want to give it all to him. And it's so worth it. He's like the treasure, you know. He's the treasure of my life. Amen.
That's great. I think that's a good way to end.
I feel like I'm too passionate.
That's cool, hey. I used to lead Ross at Crossfire, and like he'll tell you, he was a strange kid. and not strange as in, you know, he's a bit quirky and stuff, but he had some stuff going on and used to send all these Facebook messages when he was a mess, as he called it. And his sister would pray for him and ask me to pray for him, and some of the other people here. And came up to me 5 months ago, and I was like, Ross, I haven't seen you in ages. And he came and gave me a hug. And, like, for Ross to come and give someone a hug, that's, like, next level. And then we talked outside, and I was like, what's going on? All he said was, Jesus saved me. And I knew exactly what that meant, because Ross needed saving, and I think maybe you might be here tonight and you need saving as well. Maybe your story isn't as crazy as Ross, but it's interesting. I asked him what's different, because as he said, he's been to church a few times, he knows a bunch of Christians, he's read the Bible. I said, what was the difference? What was the moment that changed everything? And he said, it was the moment where I just gave up. I gave up and I gave everything to God. Because unless God is the God of everything, he's not God of anything. Like Cain, he had a relationship with God, but he didn't bring his best. He tried to make the rules, but God doesn't work like that. God wants all of us. And it's interesting what he said. He didn't say, oh, I worked it out. I was reading the Bible and I worked it out. Now, don't get me wrong. Ross had a very significant part to play in accepting Jesus. But did you hear how he talked about his experience? This is a gift. I've been gifted new life. I've been gifted by God. That's the difference between being selfish and being humble. When you say, it's not about me, I didn't work it out. This has come from somewhere else. This has come from God. See, Ross gave up trying to deal with his sin. He gave up trying to deal with his faults and insecurities. Gave up trying to do it in his own strength, and he simply gave it to Jesus. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to make a choice. One choice. And that choice is simple: to humble yourself under God tonight. Whether that's for the first time, you've never done that, you've never given yourself to God, or whether you're sitting here and you're like, yeah, I think I've put God as just part of my life. He's not everything. I'm going to give you that choice. But you might be thinking, well, why humble ourselves under God? Why would we humble ourselves under God? And the answer is because he humbled himself under us. This is what it says in Philippians 2. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross. Jesus, who was God, humbled himself under the authorities, under the guards, for something he knew he was innocent of. At any point, he could have jumped off that cross and said, stop, no more. But he didn't. How much more should we humble ourselves before our God, the very one who created us, knows us and loves us? It's selfish versus humble, and who do you think wins? See, where Cain failed, Jesus prevailed. Where Cain spilt the blood of his own brother for his benefit, Jesus spilt his own blood for our benefit. Where Cain did his own will, Jesus did the will of God. And where Cain could not deal with his own sin, Jesus dealt with the sin of everybody once and for all. Humility wins. Jesus wins. God doesn't owe us anything, and yet he gives us everything. So I'm going to ask you tonight, would you humbly accept this gift? If you picture that world where people are living humbly under God and humbly under each other, and that's attractive to you, then I want to give you an opportunity right now to be part of that world. To be part of that world. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, just like Ross did that night. And what this prayer is going to say is, God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. But through Jesus' death, I accept this gift of freedom from my sin. And I'm going to give you everything. So I want to ask you, will you accept that tonight? No matter if this is your first time, no matter if you prayed this prayer before, if you're walking with God, but you know that like Cain, you put yourself before God, I want you to pray this prayer. So I'm going to pray, and if you want to pray this with me, in your own heart, in your own mind, silently to yourself, just repeat the words that I say, that from this point you walk with Jesus humbly under God, from this point. So if everyone across this building could close their eyes as we pray. Dear Father, we know that we have walked away from you. Like Cain, we know what is right, but we often say to you, I've got this. I'm going to do this my own way. And Lord, we know that that is called sin whenever we do that. We want to say sorry for every time that we've done this, every time that we will continue to do this as we struggle with sin, struggle with our own pride. So God, tonight, I give you my life. I want to be humble under Jesus, the one that was humble under us. And from this point, that I would give you everything, my whole life. And I thank you
that this is a free gift that only you could give. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, if you meant it from your heart, then, like Ross said, God zapped me with his love. It's done. Does that make sense? It's done. Anything you give to God from now is just a response. Everything you give to God now, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, it's simply a response to the fact that you've received grace and you're more in love with God than ever before. So I want to say, if you prayed that prayer, it's done. You are in the body of Christ. You are a child of God. It's a reason to celebrate. They're celebrating in heaven. But there's a next step, because like Cain, sin is prowling at our door. And the danger is that we leave this building and say, yeah, I did it. I prayed the prayer. I'm gone. It's going to be cool. And we don't let this community help grow us. You've got one of these cards on your seat. I'm going to ask you to grab that. Find one near you. Find a pen as well. And I want you to be clear that this filling in this card isn't the response. You've already made the response. Whether you said, I'm in, or whether you didn't, this is simply an indication so we can help you take the next step. So once you've got a card and a pen, I just want to quickly go through these responses. We're all going to fill one out. Whether you've been here 27 years, or whether this is your first time, we're all going to fill one of these out. So first of all, can I get you to write your name where it says name, funnily enough. The next step is, if you're here and you love Jesus and you've simply just been blessed by another understanding of grace, I want you to tick that I already have a relationship with Jesus. That's awesome. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. The next box, if this is you, is a person that just prayed that prayer, whether it was for the first time or whether you want to reconnect with God, whether you want to give him everything. I want you to tick that box which says, I'd like to start a relationship with Jesus. That's already happened, but this is just an indication that you've done that. If you want to find out more about a course that we do, which will help explain better than I can exactly what it means to receive this gift of grace, then just tick that box and we'll let you know of the next Christianity Explained night that is going to happen in a few weeks. If you've still got questions, tick that box and come see me or one of the ministers after this service, please. And finally, if you're sitting here and you've heard what I've said, you've heard what God said, and you think, no, that's okay, thanks anyway, then please feel free to tick that last box. Once you've ticked your box, if you could put your email address and phone number. And just to let you know what's going to happen from this point is Eric will contact you. Eric's a legend. Don't freak out. He's really funny too, so just make sure you laugh at his jokes. He's going to celebrate with you whichever box you ticked, and we're going to help you take the next step. In a minute, the bags are going to be passed around, and as they do, pop this in, whatever box you've ticked. At the same time, we're going to collect our offertory, which helps us make Jesus' name famous here and around the world and to help others. I'm excited because you see Ross's video and you think there's something different. There's a power there, and that power is God. So I wonder if we can do something that's totally un-Anglican of us. And can we give a rousing applause to those who made decisions tonight, and most of all to our God? Give it up.